I want to thank Loretta for being our pianist this morning and for Meg for being our song leader as well. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us. Well, today we bring a conclusion to our Advent and Christmas series, Under Wraps. We began by talking about different aspects of God's character. We talked about how God is an expectant God. We talked about how Luke begins his gospel with two expectant mothers, neither of them thinking that they would ever be in that situation. And we learned how God loves an expectant heart, an expectant spirit, that when we serve him, we expect to see God move in our midst. And he's always eager to surprise us with his gifts of goodness and love. Of course, that means that part of being a Christian is to expect the unexpected in life, isn't it? In every area of life, because God's plans aren't stopped because of our stage of life or whatever we're going through. I hope that sometime during Advent and Christmas, you have been surprised in a good way, in a great way. We also talked about that God is dangerous, and that's an aspect of God's character that we often don't give much attention to. You know the story and how Herod made it dangerous for the Holy Family and for the Magi later. Even later then, a different Herod came along and made it very dangerous and difficult for John the Baptist and for the apostles. Jesus' coming was dangerous to the devil, dangerous to the forces of darkness, and to serve notice to them that evil in this world would have a short life with Jesus here. Of course, in our language, dangerous has a negative connotation. But we talked about how it really means that the Lord deeply cares for you, that he deeply cares for all of humankind and all creation, and that he really loves you, so much so that he has a fierce love for you. And we talked about how God is a strong and mighty God, willing to go to battle on our behalf. And I'm wondering, did you find your favorite dangerous situation in the Bible in December? We also talked about how God is jealous. And I told the story of parents who came to me one Christmas about how to approach one of their children who just never seemed happy with what they gave them. We learned that God is not jealous of us. God is jealous for us. He's jealous for our hearts, our minds. God knows that we're torn every which way in our society today and all kinds of other voices that try to speak truth to our hearts and to our spirits. God's jealous for our conscience, for our heart and our mind and our spirit. And that's in a good way because he wants to have an ongoing, even deeper relationship with us than we ever had before. And we know that can't be confined to just 1 hour on Sunday. God shows that desire and that commitment to us with Christmas. And we also talked about how God's jealous for his name. His name is holy. His name is sacred. And unfortunately, we live in a society that is replete with taking God's name in vain in different ways. I still think it's part of our Christian witness that when we hear that, we firmly but gently say, you know, you're talking about my God and our God. Could you please use another word? So I hope you'll fly into the new year knowing that Jesus fights for your heart, that he fights for your soul and the hearts of your children too and your friends. We talked about how God is faithful, that Christmas means that God keeps his promises to his people, first Israel and then to the Gentiles too, and that God is faithful and that he will never abandon us, and that the Old Testament is a love story between a faithful God and a faithless people. So today we conclude with another aspect of God's character, and that is God is joyful. God is joyful, and what is a message on joy without some Christmas jokes, right? What would it be like? So let me get my little assistant here to help me. Why were Santa's candy canes so valuable? They were in mint condition. Why did they ask the Christmas turkey to join the band? Almost. Somebody else said something. What was it?
He provided the drumsticks.
He had the drumsticks. That's right. And a last one. I can tell this is painful for you. Somewhat for me, but no. What was Mrs. Claus' weather forecast on Christmas Eve?
I have no idea.
Rain, dear. When I thought about this message today, I thought, why is God joyful? The emphasis is always on us to be joyful, and we do a lot to bring joy and gladness into the lives of those we love. But what about God's joy? How is God joyful? And I thought, well, God is joyful because God is getting his children back. You know, that was the plan from the beginning, that there would be a bridge between God and humanity, and that chasm was getting very deep, and no one could cross it. God was so excited about that, about bringing his son, that he just sent multitudes of angels to proclaim the good news. I just think that Christmas is good, and it is what it is. And at Christmas time, no one is more joyful than God himself, because Christmas is about God getting his kids back and being in covenant with them. Here's the second thing I thought of. I thought that God is joyful because God was getting back to his children. It wasn't just about the children. You know, getting his kids back, it's about getting back to his kids. We who are parents and grandparents know that. God was aware of that spiritual distance that was creeping in. And Emmanuel means God with us. That's the name from Isaiah's prophecy. And God, again, was happy to bridge that gap. As the late Eugene Peterson paraphrased in John chapter 1:14 from the Message, his paraphrase of that verse is, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Joyful because God was getting back to his children in Christ. The third thing I thought about is that when I think about joyful, I think about my dad and my mom. I think about how they look forward to have everyone together at Christmas. And this year, for us, with my family, it was on Christmas Day. And it was for about 7 hours. I saw it in their eyes. I could hear it in their voices. My mom is 80. She's showing early signs of dementia in terms of memory loss. And so she'll ask something several times. And she'll write notes to herself. And I saw joyful in my mother-in-law too. When we went there on Friday, as soon as we stepped through the door. And thank you for your prayers for Sherry's dad, Dwayne Burnett, who's in stage 5 of Parkinson's. Spending time with them in 2019 will be even more important to us. Being present with them and spending time means the most to them. I also think about joyful because the angels knew that the beauty of God had come into the ugliness of the world. And I think that made God's heart happy. The message of the angels was like a meteor. The shepherds knew that a great light had come. And they had the wherewithal to go and to see what had come into this world. The Bible says that they left running and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. And they heard all that was said about this child. And all who heard the sheepherders were impressed. And then they went back to their own crowd, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. I think that I see joyful in God's character also. And we see it in our own lives when we have hope. We experience that joy when we have hope in our lives. Zephaniah said, "I will restore your fortunes." Isn't that a wonderful statement? "I will restore your fortunes. Rejoice." And then he went on to say, "Judgment is taken away from you." Like you, I know what it's like to feel judged. And I know the feeling when that judgment is removed and the friendship or the relationship is healed. And how glad that makes me and how glad that makes the other person that we no longer have that between one another. We're happy and filled with joy when we have hope. There are times also when I've been stumped with what to do in a situation. And I will think and pray and talk to myself, and then an idea comes. An idea. Sometimes from within, sometimes from another. And you go, there's a way out. I've got an answer. I've got a path now, something to do. And I get the sense of, yes, yes, that's it. I can try that. We have that joy when we have hope in a situation. And when we have to endure the most difficult moments, those times when it's really hard to feel the warmth of Christ, really hard to think about the love that God has for us, we need the warmth of Christmas. And as I said in the children's story, you know, you can also choose to share and impart that joy to others. We make a decision every day to do that. So I want you to think, who can you influence for Christ and for good in 2019? Who can you influence? Who can you mentor? I guarantee doing so will give you strength in your life. Do something you care about. Find a place to serve. You feel good when you give back. I wrote down some reflections here in your bulletin that I hope that you'll take with you. Ask yourself, do you usually see God as a joyful God? When you think of God in your mind, do you see God as a jubilant, joyful God? Why or why not? Maybe that's conditioned by the way you were raised or your own personal experiences in life. And then, what's your favorite God is joyful situation in the Bible? Is it the creation of Adam and Eve? Is it the Father's joy when the prodigal son returns home? Is it the birth of Jesus? What is it? Is it another story? And over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, tells us about Enoch. The Bible says, Enoch pleased God. That's another tremendous statement. Enoch pleased God, and then he was no more. And the writer of Hebrews says that it's impossible to please God without faith. So why do you think faith pleases God? Why do you think the writer would say faith there? And then recall what I said at the very beginning of the message, that at Christmas no one is more joyful than God himself, because Christmas is about God getting his kids back. Think about that statement. Ask your, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you for our time together throughout this year. I thank you for this series. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of this season. And thank you, God, that you are joyful in your character, Lord, in your nature to us. And it's out of that joy, Lord, that flows so much love and peace and goodwill for us. And Father, I pray that you be the joyful God to us. Father, we groan, we grieve in this life, Lord, because we love so much, because we care so much, Lord. And Father, now I pray that you, by your mighty power, that you would break the powers of gloom. I pray, Lord, that you would break the powers of death that are over us. as a congregation, Lord, as a community, even as a nation, Lord. Lord, break the hold that this world has over our spirit. Be born in us today. Father, bring your light and life and joy to your church here, to each church in our community, Lord, to your church throughout the world. And Lord, keep our eyes and our hearts open, Lord, that we may see glimpses and bright rays, Lord, of your gladness and of your joy for us. Continue, Lord, to give us that grace and love and with one another, Lord, as we go through difficult times in this year to come, as we make important decisions, Lord, on behalf of our congregation and individually and with our families. Father, through it all, may we sense your joy, your underlying rest and peace and assurance of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our close.